All right, everybody, buckle up.
Because today, we are diving deep
into a world where science fiction meets, like, straight-up existentialism.
And we're doing it all inside a casino
that's... It's anything but ordinary.
There's right up our alley.
Oh, absolutely.
So we've got this scene.
It's from a fictional screenplay.
Okay.
And it features, you guessed it,
Rick and Morty.
Of course.
And yeah, let me tell you, things get seriously meta.
I love those guys.
They're the best.
What I find really interesting about this scene in particular
is how it takes humor and these, like, seemingly absurd situations
to explore some really, really profound questions.
Yeah.
About reality, about perception.
About just the limits of what we can even understand.
That's the best way to put it, honestly.
It's okay.
Picture this. Rick and Morty walk into a Las Vegas speakeasy called a Paradimes.
All right.
I know, right?
I like it already.
Right.
Classic Rick and Morty vibes.
You've got that little wordplay.
Yeah.
That hint of something deeper.
Lurking below the surface.
Always something deeper with those two.
Always.
You know, it's funny, the name itself, A Pair of Dimes.
I feel like that's our first clue.
But we're not dealing with just a normal bar here.
No.
I mean, it's obviously a play on words.
But it also, like, hints at this.
Shift in perspective.
A move away from the ordinary.
It's like the name is a riddle in itself.
It is.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And speaking of riddles, inside the bar,
Morty gets hit with another one.
Oh, no.
This time, it's from the bartender.
All right.
He points to these two nickels.
They're encased in acrylic, which I've got to ask.
Who puts nickels on display like that?
Right.
But anyway.
He says, two nickels are a pair that are also a dime.
Okay.
And then he just kind of stares at Morty, expectantly.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know, like Morty's supposed to know what's up.
Poor Morty.
And of course, Morty, being Morty, is totally lost.
Yeah, that tracks.
But the answer's revealed in the screenplay.
Okay.
It's a paradigms.
Right.
Or phonetically, a paradigm. And
oh,
that's where things start to get really interesting.
Because.
Okay, so we've got wordplay, casino setting.
And now paradigm is being thrown around.
Hit me with your best shot. What's the significance here?
Okay, so in the simplest terms, a paradigm is basically a framework.
For understanding the world. Like, it's the lens through which we take in information.
Okay.
We make sense of our experiences, we form our beliefs.
So you're saying our understanding of the world
isn't always objective.
Exactly.
Like, we're influenced by these invisible forces.
Yes. And we often don't even realize it.
Wow.
We inherit them from our culture, our upbringing,
our education. They're so ingrained, we mistake them for objective reality.
When really, they're just one way of seeing things.
That's a really good point.
But how does this connect back to the paradigms bar?
Well, think about it. Rick and Morty.
They're constantly hopping between dimensions, right?
Right.
Encountering realities that defy logic and expectation.
Their entire existence challenges conventional paradigms.
Whoa. You're totally right.
And here they are in this seemingly normal bar.
Well, normal for them, I guess.
Right.
But the name, the riddle.
It all points to this idea of shifting perspectives.
Exactly.
Questioning what we think is real.
And it doesn't stop there.
Oh, no.
The screenplay, it doesn't let us get too comfortable.
In this strange little bar before it throws us another curveball.
Okay. I am intrigued.
This time, it comes in the form of a photograph.
Right. Morty notices this photograph on the wall.
And the caption under it says, Transfiguration.
Interesting.
And underneath that, there's this mention of Christ's transfiguration.
Okay.
You know, the whole glowing on a mountaintop thing?
Right, right.
It's a pretty unexpected juxtaposition.
It is, even for Rick and Morty.
Even for them.
Yeah.
Which is saying something.
And I think that's exactly why it's so brilliant.
Okay.
By putting these two seemingly totally different concepts side by side.
You know, the religious idea of transfiguration.
This bizarre, like, sci-fi setting.
The screenplay forces us to confront our preconceived notions about both.
I love that. It's like the screenplay is saying,
hey, you think you know what transfiguration is? Think again.
Precisely. Because transfiguration, at its heart,
it's about transformation, metamorphosis.
It's not just a religious concept. It's a fundamental human experience.
Oh, I like that.
We see it in nature.
We see it in
our own personal journeys.
It's about moving from one state of being to another.
Often through these processes of, like, profound change or revelation.
So it's like how a caterpillar transforms to a butterfly.
Yes.
Or how we, as people, can go through these periods of growth and change.
That fundamentally alter who we are.
Exactly.
Okay, mind officially blown.
But hold on, because things are about to get even weirder.
Even weirder.
If you can believe it. Because now,
We've got to talk about the Kaku box.
Ah, the Kaku box.
Right.
This is where the screenplay, like, really takes this turn.
Into, like, straight up metaphysics, you know?
Okay.
It challenges how we think about belief.
The very nature of existence.
Mm-hmm. You know what it's saying?
Because even Rick, Mr. I'm too cool for this, he gives Morty a warning about this thing.
Right.
Like, that's how you know it's legit.
Totally.
What is the deal with this box?
Wow.
It's not so much a physical object.
As it is an argument. Oh. A line of reasoning.
That goes a little something like this. If we accept there could be an infinite multiverse.
Infinite universes, infinite possibilities, right?
Right.
Then, within those infinite universes.
Anything is possible.
Okay.
Including, and this is where it gets interesting.
The existence of a deity. So, you're saying even an atheist.
Like someone who doesn't believe in God at all.
They have to admit a God could exist.
Somewhere out there in the vastness of the multiverse.
That's what this argument is saying.
That is mind-bending.
Right. It really highlights the limitations.
Of what we can even grasp, you know?
It's like the screenplay is saying that trying to categorize or define the universe.
Well, to put limits on it, it's pointless.
There's a certain beauty to that, though, isn't there?
There is.
Admitting there are things we may never understand.
Mysteries beyond anything we know right now.
You know, I think that would be liberating for some people.
And absolutely terrifying for others.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know what's really interesting to me?
What's that?
We see Rick's reaction after Morty opens the box.
And he doesn't seem surprised at all.
You're right.
If anything, he seems kind of resigned.
It's such a small detail.
But it really speaks volumes, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
This is Rick, right.
He's seen it all, done it all.
Traveled across dimensions.
Encountered countless realities.
Right.
Maybe, for a guy like Rick.
The idea of a deity out there in the multiverse.
It's not even that weird.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just seen too much.
To care anymore?
Wow.
Now I'm really seeing how deep this scene goes.
It's amazing.
We went from wordplay, paradigms.
To the nature of belief.
And the possibility of a multiverse.
It's brilliant.
I wish I was fly on the wall when they were writing this.
It really is a masterclass, right?
It is.
Using these, like, absurd situations.
To explore deep philosophy.
Right.
But then, just when you think it can't get more meta, the screenplay hits us with the who am I riddle.
Right. Morty's brain is probably still fried from that Kaku box.
And then, bam, the bartender throws another one at him.
Classic.
The classic who am I.
Right.
But this being Rick and Morty.
It's not that simple.
Oh, of course not.
So what does the bartender do?
Well, he doesn't just answer the question, right?
Yeah.
He grabs a napkin. I love this part.
Okay.
And starts drawing all these strange symbols.
A dot, a line, loops, equations, the works.
Trying to explain existence on a cocktail napkin?
Pretty much.
Okay, what do the symbols mean?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
And what's so interesting is the screenplay doesn't say.
No way.
It's left for us to decide.
All right, but there have to be some clues, right?
Of course.
What do you think they mean?
Well, if we really look closely.
We see this idea of duality, you know?
Okay.
Light and dark, yin and yang.
Suggesting balance in the universe.
I can see that.
Then there's the line.
Maybe representing time. The journey of life, even.
Okay, yeah.
And those loops.
They could be
cycles.
Interconnectedness.
The way everything's ultimately connected.
I love it.
Did you notice Rick tries to interpret it too?
Oh, yeah. That was great.
In true Rick fashion, of course. He looks at the napkin.
This jumbled mess of symbols.
And just goes, I am you.
Classic. That is such a Rick answer.
It really is.
But even with how absurd it sounds.
There's truth in it, don't you think?
Yeah, actually.
It's saying that we're not separate from the universe.
We're all connected.
That theme keeps coming back, doesn't it?
It does.
That connect. This feeling that something bigger is at play.
Exactly.
And it just keeps getting stronger.
Especially when we hit that phrase, fare a day cage. It's funny, isn't it?
We're tossing around all these huge ideas.
Paradigms, transfiguration, the infinite multiverse, and yet.
It's that little phrase at the end. Faraday cage.
It really gets stuck in your head.
It's true.
Like a piece of cosmic lint.
I love that.
You just can't get rid of.
It really speaks to the writer, I think.
To leave us with that question.
That lingering mystery.
And the way they do it, right?
Almost like an afterthought.
Just throws it in there.
Exactly.
But that makes it even more powerful.
It does.
So Morty just throws out this phrase.
Fare a day cage.
Almost like he doesn't even realize what he's saying.
And Rick, he knew.
And we see the speakeasy sign, the one that said a speakeasy for atheists.
Right.
It flickers.
And just for a second, it reads the Faraday cage.
Whoa.
And then it's gone.
It's so quick.
So quick.
But important.
Huge.
It connects Faraday cage with the Faraday cage idea.
Okay.
Now we're really going down the rabbit hole here.
Down we go.
So for those of us who might have missed that day in physics class.
What is a Faraday cage?
Okay, so basically it's this enclosure.
That blocks electromagnetic fields.
Okay.
You can think of it like a shield.
Protecting whatever's inside from electrical interference.
But like everything else in this scene.
Right.
It's got to have a deeper meaning.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Hit me with it.
So think about everything we've been talking about.
The limits of how we see things.
Oh. The challenges of understanding infinity.
Whether a deity could exist.
Right, right. What if...
And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, I'm listening.
Our beliefs, our paradigms, even our knowledge.
What if they act as a kind of Faraday cage?
Ooh.
You're saying we build these cages around ourselves.
It's a thought, isn't it?
To block out certain truths, possibilities even.
Like a filter on reality, yeah.
Wow.
Remember the cuckoo box?
That idea that God's existence can't be proven or disproven.
That leaves us with a lot of uncertainty.
It does.
So maybe
we create these Faraday cages.
Our own little bubbles of certainty.
To deal with that uncertainty.
To protect ourselves from how big and unknowable everything is.
So instead of a cage made of metal.
It's a cage made of our beliefs.
Exactly.
Our assumptions, maybe even our fears.
Mm.
All of it.
And like any other cage.
It protects us, but also traps us.
Yes. It can shield us from doubt.
But it can also stop us from seeing beyond the bars.
From seeing other possibilities.
Right.
This is incredible. So what do we do with this idea, this Faraday cage?
You know, that's what I love about this scene.
What's that?
It doesn't give us easy answers.
Or tell us what to do.
It just gives us this powerful image, this metaphor.
And lets us figure out what it means for ourselves.
This whole deep dive, really.
It's all been about... challenging how we see things.
Right.
Getting us to step outside of what's comfortable.
And face the unknown.
It's been a wild ride.
It has. And on that note, I think we all deserve a break. A huge thanks to our expert.
The pleasure was all mine.
For taking us on this mind-bending journey.
Through paradigms, transfiguration, and the philosophical mysteries of a very strange little bar.
Anytime.
And to our listeners, thanks for sticking with us. Keep those brains buzzing. We'll be back next time with another deep dive into the weird, the wonderful, and the thought-provoking. Until then, happy exploring.